Originality.
You.
Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go. Aloha, what's cooking, good lookins? We are back. This is Nick Singh, and you are now listening to Autographs. Grateful to have everyone here today. I'm excited because I just got Amazon Prime, and this is not an ad. I'm just stoked about the platform. I've been spending all my money on little things that I've always needed, like this mic stand. So, yeah, that was silly, I know. Anyways, today's episode is with John Dick, and you know, I want to be honest with everyone listening. When I had this interview lined up, it was part of a round of interviews at an event called Hasten Hustle in Toronto, which, by the way, they're having another event soon. It's with Richard Branson. It's going to be awesome. If you want to come, shoot me a personal message and I'll try to get you the ticket and we can meet up there. But anyways, it was at Hasten Hustle. It was at the first event in 2017, and John Dick was the VP of marketing of a company called HubSpot, which is a really important company as far as internet marketing goes and their solutions for others. But anyways, I hadn't really understood much about John. That day I was also interviewing Gary Vaynerchuk and Casey Neistat and a dragon from Dragon's Den. And to be frank with you, those were at the forefront of my focus. And by the time I got to really understand John, it was a bit of a last minute process. You know, I realized that this gentleman was so special because out of everyone I interviewed that day, he was the one person who came in and was so different in the best way possible. The difference between John and the rest of everybody else and almost anybody else I've had on my show is that John actually works within a company. He's not the founder and he's not the owner. And something in me just resonated with his vibe and his energy and his insights a lot. And I think that what you're going to get out of this episode is an opportunity to peek back behind the curtain and realize the world of opportunity that awaits you that's beyond just entrepreneurship and owning a company. You know, there's lots of opportunities to work in companies that get written off so easily. And people like John are so special because they bring forth some of those stories, some of those insights, and some of those adventures to our awareness. And that's really what I got out of speaking with John. And I'm so grateful for the interview, and I can't wait for everybody to listen. So with that, my name is Nick Singh. You're now listening to Autographs. Thanks for being here. I'll talk to you soon. Peace. I'm a marketing student myself, and I have to ask, as a VP of marketing for HubSpot, which is a massive, massive web face on the internet, I mean, where do you genuinely think marketing is going to be in the future? Because it's literally a shift. It's not even a shifting landscape. It's like we're standing on water right now, right? Like trying to swim. Yeah. It's like that different. So I'm curious as to what you think.
Well, I think certainly a lot of what I talked about in my talk is about that, right? Like, I think fundamentally that the brands that are going to succeed in the future are people who are content creators and who create content that add value, that use that content to build trust with consumers. So I think like a lot of it is fairly like philosophical in nature, but like brands that stand for something and brands that communicate what they stand for really clearly, I think are going to stand out. I think from like a technical side of the house, like I think like how people market is going to change really dramatically.
How? What do you mean?
So like email is going to continue to lose efficacy over time, right? If you look at most companies' kind of email response rates, like you start to see them like trending down over time, which means you have to send more volume of email in order to get the same response back. It's because people just are going to different platforms. They're on things like Messenger, Facebook Messenger. They're on, you know, in Europe, they're on WhatsApp. You know, there's all sorts of different services where people are. And so I think the marketer's job is to always be where people are. And that's harder than ever because a lot of these platforms where people are, like, they aren't built for marketers to participate particularly easily. So a lot of innovation has to happen there. I think the other big thing is, like, right now, like, to be a great marketer, like, in a technical marketer, you need to learn software.
Yeah.
I don't think you're gonna have
Like, what kind of software?
You need to learn all sorts of, you need to learn analytics software so that you can build funnels, so you can build reports, so that you can, you know, get pixels installed on your website. Like, this whole range of technical things you need to learn. You need to learn how to build workflows for email automation. You need to learn how to do a whole bunch of things like that.
So what you're really saying is that the infrastructure is, for the most part, the same. It's just the actual tools and pieces and inputs are shifting dramatically, which in turn is also, in a way, even shifting the infrastructure, right?
Yeah. I think what you're going to see is that instead of you learning software, you are going to learn how to tell software what outcome you want and what rules you require.
And the software learns it itself.
I think we're going to see the software figure it out.
That's interesting. So to kind of jump from that topic to a more in-depth look at kind of who you are as a person, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a question that I haven't been able to ask anybody yet because they're not in the position that you're in. So I'm looking for a fun, creative answer from you, whatever is true and honest, which is just, you're the VP of marketing for HubSpot. So everybody we've interviewed up until this point has been an owner, founder, entrepreneur, CEO, and that's kind of the narrative today of like what to do. I mean, I'm young and I'm looking up and I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess that's what I do, right? Speak to us about that for a second. I mean, working versus owning, and I can just tell by your vibe, you're incredibly fulfilled, you feel successful, and you just are, right? You're a happy dude, and that's amazing. And I want to just touch on that, bring that conversation back into existence for anybody who kind of feels in their heart they don't want to own a business because it's not them. They want to maybe do something like you're doing, find success in a corporate company, and we don't have many people like you these days to talk to that voices are really being loud enough, so I'd love to hear your response.
Yeah. So I think there's two pieces to it. I think there's like what role you serve and whether you are the right person to be a founder or not. Yeah. And then I think there's what size company you work at if you choose not to be a founder.
Okay.
And so I think I just know like that I'm not a founder. Like I just,
how'd you know?
I think I just have always known. I think that I think the truth is the people that I know who are really successful founders and, you know, I've worked in San Francisco and Silicon Valley, I've known a lot of these people who are so successful, they have a level of belief in an idea that nobody else believes in that, like, I haven't had as much in my life. Like, I just haven't. Like, I love forward-thinking ideas. I love ideas that push against the grain. But it's rare in my life that I have felt like I was so inspired by an idea that no one had thought of yet that I wanted to go and try and bring it to market.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was just me. And I think, you know, Gary Vee kind of talked about this today, but it's like we glorify the founder, but, like, the founders don't succeed without, like, an amazing number two and an amazing number three. And so I'm not saying I'll never found a company, but like certainly in my 20s and 30s, like that wasn't a big push for me. I think the second piece of it is about size of company, right? And I've actually worked at companies of a lot of different sizes. I've worked at companies that were closer to 60, companies that were, you know, more like 200, and now HubSpot's about 1,500. And I think that like everyone should try different company sizes and see what works. And you get different benefits at different company sizes. You know, the smaller the company, you know, the in theory, the easier it is to get things done, but you have to wear a lot more hats, right? You know, I think everybody in smaller companies has to be, you know, a doer. And one of the reasons I joined HubSpot, being a bigger company, is that HubSpot's maintained a lot of that culture of, like, everyone is a doer, as well as, you know, me being a leader as well. But I think there's pros and cons of different size companies, and I think people need to kind of try them out.
That's a brilliant answer. And to kind of expand on the answer itself, I want to ask you how you've made that work for yourself, because I believe that where a lot of people get stuck is they get stuck in this whole narrative where, like I said, I got to be the owner. And then when they realize, they look themselves in the mirror and they say, oh wait, but I don't have that idea and I don't really have that burn in my belly, but I would make an awesome this, right? They feel like, nope, that's wrong, I gotta be an owner, and they still try to make them do it, like, they try to make themselves do it anyway. So I'm curious as to how you became incredibly successful as is, and if you could say any words to somebody out there listening to this who might be struggling between and juggling between those two things.
Yeah.
How you've made that work for you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that I'm successful. I think that I feel like I still have a ton of work to do.
Everybody does.
And I feel like I'm learning more now than I've ever learned in my career, and I'm challenged more now than I've ever been challenged in my career. And I think that sometimes people have a slight fallacy about like, oh, like the VP or the CEO, like, they just like, you know, like give strategic direction. It's it's a really hard job, and it's a whole different set of challenge. Managing big teams is really challenging. I think like coordinating across really large groups of stakeholders is really challenging. So I appreciate you saying that, but I actually feel like I got a long way to go before I can and claim that mantle of success. I think to your broader question, which is about like how do you get there?
How do you just get past that first mental debacle?
Yeah, my honest advice is you just got to roll with it. I think you got to try and create opportunities for yourself, and I think you need to create as many opportunities as you can, and then you have to seize the ones that are best. You know how I got my job in San Francisco?
How'd you get it?
I wrote a paper on the company in graduate school.
And they read it?
I had a friend who knew the CEO, and he was like, you gotta send it to Joe. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not sending my nerdy business school paper to a founder in the Valley. And he was like, Joe's cool, just send it. And so I sent it, and Joe wrote back an hour later and was like, this is awesome. I've been thinking about this. This is a good, smart analysis. If you're ever in San Francisco, you should swing by the office and say hello. And so it's just if you create these opportunities and you just, keep yourself open to different paths, I think that tends to be what works best. And I feel like when people try and over-engineer what they want their outcome to be, I think they miss out on great opportunities to let things kind of naturally evolve.
Hey everyone, it's Nick again. If you enjoyed that, please give us a rate and review wherever you get your podcasts, and we love that. And without further ado, this episode was produced and edited by none other than The Accents and my friends at Nap House. So thank you both to Richie and Matthias. You folks are always magicians and wizards behind this whole curtain and crushing it. And thanks again, John, for this all. I'll talk to y'all soon. Have an amazing day, and don't forget to be grateful. Peace.
Yeah.